Hi again, this is Mike Zimbrick with the last of the four headache podcasts. This one will discuss aspects of follow-up visits for pediatric and adolescent headaches, as well as a few final tips and thoughts. So when we see patients in follow-up for headaches, we kind of want to go through the interim history, of course, of the headaches, gather that, but also sort of revisit the idea of whether or not this is still acting like a primary headache or a secondary headache. So we might need to reinforce or reiterate some of the pertinent aspects of the history: headache location, severity, timing, character and associated symptoms, and is there any unusual new feature? For example, has it become a headache that now seems to exclusively happen at nighttime? Has it become a headache with new associated neurological symptoms such as vision changes or weakness, for example? After we've gone through that, we want to reassess the headache burden. So what are the headache type or types? Have they changed in character or severity? And hopefully we have a headache calendar or some type of documentation to go through with the patient so that we might be able to assess what type of progress we may or may not have made in impacting the headache burden. Oftentimes in the follow-up visits, you might be a bit more productive in understanding factors that lead to headaches or improve headaches simply because the family and the patient are now aware of these things and are paying attention to them. So we may want to know things like, is there anything that has led to you having a headache-free day or a headache-free week? Is there anything that you know definitely now gives you a headache that maybe you weren't quite aware of before, and simply in the process of keeping track of them, perhaps you've learned? Of course, we want to also learn about what medications are being used for abortive treatment. What is the dose? What is the preparation and the timing, and how often? To be sure, of course, that they're not overusing it or using the medications inappropriately or suboptimally dosing or timing the dose. We might want to quantify how effective these abortive medications are. Again, it's useful to use the pain scale, 0 to 10, or perhaps the FACES. So we might ask, all right, if most of your headaches these days are 8 out of 10, and after you've taken your appropriate dosing of your abortive, what number is it after 20 to 30 minutes? So we can quantify things a bit. Then we may need to talk about how effective the preventative medications or supplements are, whether or not the patient's taking them, and whether sufficient time has elapsed to really expect them to be useful. We expect that amitriptyline's therapeutic effect for headache will take at least 3 to 4 weeks to really emerge. Topiramate is a bit faster, perhaps 1 to 2 if you're using that for migraines. Riboflavin can take a month or two, and magnesium can take several weeks. So it is important to at least let a month, perhaps 6 weeks, elapse between the first and the follow-up visit if you really want to assess the efficacy of the preventative treatments. Other aspects to go over are how well or not well, as the case may be, is the patient adhering to aspects of headache hygiene. If you had the opportunity in the first visit, or at least in the counseling portion of the first visit, to go over aspects of headache hygiene, you might have identified particular things that certain patients or families need to do better, such as adhering to a better regular sleep schedule, hydration, meals, stress management, and so on. Sometimes it's a fairly simple visit if they simply come back and tell you, well, the headaches are no better, but we're actually not doing anything different yet. Well, then it may just be a situation in which you need to reinforce and reiterate aspects of headache hygiene. Then a focused examination is, of course, appropriate, taking into account, again, the vital signs, extraocular movements, and optic discs. I think it's worthwhile at least to assess the optic discs if you can on every patient that you see for headaches at every visit. It doesn't take very long usually. A screening strength exam, checking both sides, extensors of upper extremities, flexors of lower extremities, reflexes, coordination such as finger-nose-finger, gait, and tandem gait. We may need to restate the diagnosis when we get to the end of the follow-up visit, and if we can, accentuate the positive. Really, where have we seen improvements? And if there aren't many improvements, then maybe reinforce the idea that there is still a lot of potential for improvement. So try to accentuate the positive and really give the family or the patient or both something that they can look at take forward from the visit and work on and hope to see some improvements. When we look over the medications, we may, of course, need to think about altering the abortive medication. If they have been using Tylenol, for example, it's worth a try of ibuprofen, perhaps a combination medication like Excedrin. So we might need to assess whether we change our approach there. If it's a migraine patient and they've been through the non-prescription treatments, it might be time to try a triptan medication like sumatriptan. It could also be the case that combining usual over-the-counter treatments with something else can be helpful. So for example, if a person has really bad migraines, but they simply know if I can just get to sleep, the migraine will go away, sometimes we can help that happen with a dose of ibuprofen or Tylenol, plus a dose of Benadryl, unless they're, of course, one of the low percentage of people who really don't get tired with Benadryl. In that situation, perhaps something like melatonin might be useful, or doxylamine, or an over-the-counter sleep aid to be used intermittently. When we think about preventative treatment changes, that may be changing medicines completely, adding a non-prescription supplement, or of course, increasing the medication that they're already on. Amitriptyline is commonly started at 10 to 25 milligrams at bedtime, but as people tolerate, you could increase the dosage as high as 75 or even 100 milligrams. Now, it's not terribly common that kids will tolerate that much amitriptyline without having problematic side effects of excessive morning tiredness, perhaps dry mouth, dry eyes, or orthostatic lightheadedness. But there are some patients for whom Elavil at that dosing will be both tolerated and beneficial. For topiramate as a preventative treatment for migraine, we may start with a dose such as 25 milligrams once or twice a day. In adolescents, we really expect 50 milligrams twice a day to be kind of the minimum effective dose, though occasionally a lower dose will be helpful. The side effects occasionally will limit the utility of topiramate and may cause us to need to change preventative medications, but topiramate can certainly be advanced up to 75 or 100 milligrams twice a day as tolerated, with the main limiting side effects being appetite suppression, tingling in the extremities, and slowed cognitive abilities, word-finding problems, things like that. Another rare but good side effect to know about with topiramate is the possibility of increasing intraocular pressure. And so if people have eye pain on topiramate, it really ought to be stopped. Next, we may need to consider adding alternative or additional therapies, particularly if there are comorbidities or other headache triggers that we can identify. So for example, if people have neck and shoulder muscle soreness or strain, sometimes physical therapy, perhaps chiropractor, depending on whether or not there's any dramatic neck manipulation, which we typically want to avoid due to the risk of cervical injuries. But that can be helpful for neck and shoulder muscle soreness, along with counseling on posture. Of course, if a child has depression or anxiety, that's almost always one of the main headache triggers or factors, and that may need to be addressed separately with a counselor. A bite guard for nighttime bruxism can be helpful. And then, of course, attention to snoring or sleep apnea is appropriate as well. Now, if you've gotten through all of this and you still have a child whose headache burden is not improved, maybe still excessive, or if you just aren't quite confident in the diagnosis of a primary headache or which primary headache it might be, of course, that's an appropriate time to refer to neurology. If there's any questionable findings on the neurological exam or anything in the history that makes you think, boy, this might be a secondary headache, of course, you can consider imaging if you think that's appropriate, but you can also consider referral. As far as additional expertise, there are some different abortive treatments, some different preventative treatments that we in neurology will occasionally employ. Additionally, we're now able to offer botulinum toxin injections for patients 16 and over who have chronic migraine by diagnostic criteria, chronic migraine. So with all of that, I hope that these podcasts have been useful and beneficial for you and your patients. Please refer to the headache pathway for some more details, and thank you very much for listening.